Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy law. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us as we bring the message this morning. And I pray, Lord, that this one truth will lodge deep within their hearts, deep within their souls. Lord, thank you for this place. Lord, anyone that has a spiritual sensitivity about them just pulls on the property here and knows that this is a place that's been dedicated to the Lord. It's a place of prayer. It's a place of training. Lord, it's a place of the miraculous. And Lord, I'm so pleased to be here. What a milestone. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done through these years. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Name of the message is this, the rarest prayer in the Bible. The rarest prayer in the Bible. A few facts about this prayer. I'm going to see if you can guess what it is. Let me give you a few facts. This prayer is two words long. Two words long. Here's something that you may not know. Only one man in the Bible ever prayed this prayer. And that astounded me. But only one man in the Bible ever prayed this prayer. You only find these two words in the form of a prayer from one man. Number three, this one man, even though there was only one man, he prayed this prayer 14 times. 14 times. By the way, this man was a man after God's own heart. This two-word prayer, number five, is found in our text. Look at verse number 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. What's the next two words? Teach me. Teach me. Teach me. Now, you would think that this two-word prayer would have been found hundreds, if not thousands, of times in the Scriptures. You would think that it would have been prayed by every major character in the Bible. You would think that all mankind, every day surely would bow their knee to the all-knowing, almighty, all-wise God and pray this prayer. Yet I believe that not only is it the rarest prayer in the Bible, it may be the rarest prayer that is prayed by Christians today. Can I tell you why I think we don't pray this little two-word prayer, teach me? Let me ask you a question. Do I have to sugarcoat it or can I just be really honest with you? Why is this prayer so rare? Can I give you three reasons? Because most people are satisfied with what they know. I hope that's not you. I don't think it would be you. I don't think you would have come to Bible college. However, when I was in Bible college, even though there were students there, there was always that small percentage that came in with kind of an I know it already attitude and really never took the instruction, never had a teachable heart, never had a teachable spirit. I think a lot of folks in this generation are just satisfied with what they know. Number two, because most people are too lazy to put the time into learning. And folks, it takes effort to learn. It takes prayer to learn. Number three, because most people are so arrogant that they already think they know everything. Sadly, although that these three truths may not represent you here today, it does represent a large portion of society today. The rarest prayer in the Bible. And yet God has invited us all to come to Him for knowledge and wisdom. And we need His knowledge and wisdom if we are going to successfully live our lives and successfully serve Him. And He wants us to come. He invites us to come. I love the words found in Proverbs chapter 2, just the first six verses. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with these. Think about this. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, Apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The Lord does give wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, but he doesn't give it away cheaply. He said, I'm looking for that one that will receive my words. I'm looking for that one that will hide my commandments. I'm looking for that one that will incline his ear into wisdom, apply his heart to understanding. I'm listening for that one that crieth after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. You know what he's listening? He's listening for a two-word prayer. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me. I think it's so rare that I think when God finally does hear it, I think he rushes to that person. I think he becomes generous, extremely generous with his wisdom and his understanding and his knowledge. And yet, it still is one of the rarest prayers that I believe is prayed today. And yet Jesus and God invites us, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. He says it starts with prayer. It starts with you coming to me. It starts, can I say this, with a two-word prayer. Teach me. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, folks, it can be given liberally. And the promise is it shall be given him. But only to the one who will pray this prayer. How about Jeremiah 33, verses 2 and 3. In verse 2, God gives us his resume. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. Think about that. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof. The Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. After he gives us his resume, which is pretty impressive, okay? Then he says in verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. What's the last phrase says? Which thou knowest not. You know who is going to pray, teach me? It's going to be the one that realizes that they lack wisdom. You know what? Who's going to be the one that prays this prayer, teach me? The one who understands that they don't know everything and that God has infinite wisdom and infinite knowledge and he wants to share it. But he's waiting to hear that prayer. Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to his spirit right now. Do you hear his voice? Do you hear his invitation? Do you hear God pleading? I mean, it's crazy. The great God of the universe has to come and plead with men. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. I did a rough calculation right before I came over here, just an estimation, guesstimation, but I think it's pretty close. But if you're here in Bible college for 4 years, do you realize during that stretch, you'll probably never be another stretch quite like it when it comes to the amount of preaching that you're going to get to hear. You know what? If you're here for 4 years, somewhere around 2,500 sermons you'll sit under during that 4-year stretch. Can I say this? It would be criminal. I'm going to take it a step farther. It would be wicked to come here and spend 4 years and fail to adopt a teach me spirit and a teach me attitude. You know what? You will never have the opportunity quite like this opportunity where you have a concentrated time of Bible preaching. And that's not even counting all of the Bible classes. But it all can be wasted and has been wasted on a handful of students, I'm sure, brother, you could talk about, who came here but did not have a teach-me spirit and a teach-me attitude. Let's look at some things about this prayer. 3 things David asked God to teach him. We see in our text verse, in Psalms 119:12, he says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me what? Thy statutes. One of the things that David knew that he needed was to know better the Word of God. Psalms 119:26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Psalms 119:33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. Psalms 119:64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Psalms 119:68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Psalms 119:108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Psalms 119:124. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. Psalms 119:135. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Young people, listen to me. Our first prayer when it comes to this matter of asking God to teach us ought to be in connection with this precious book right here. One of the reasons that God said of David that he was a man after God's own heart is that he was hungry. Are you hungry, young man? Are you hungry, young lady? He was hungry, had a desire. He had a love for the words of God. And I think God is looking for someone who will just pick up their Bible every day and open it up. But before they read one word, just look up and say, teach me, Lord, teach me. I don't want to just stare down at black words on white paper. I don't want to just daydream as I skim over my Bible reading. God, I want you to take this blessed book and I want you to open it up and I want you to show me things and I want you to cause verses and phrases to become neon bright, and Holy Spirit of God, tutor me and teach me, teach me. There was a young black man who went to Bible college at the same time that I did. His name was Stan. The one thing I learned about Stan was that really impressed me was his love for the Word of God. He loved the Bible. He loved talking about the Bible. I'm talking about just a Bible college student, just a freshman Bible college student. But he came in with a love for the Word of God. He loved learning about the Bible. He loved sharing what God had taught him from the Bible. Stan didn't own a car. And so he was kind of at the mercy of the kindness of other guys at the college when he needed to go to a store or needed to go somewhere. So sometimes as I would be leaving college, he'd be standing out by the road and he'd just kind of be waiting to see if someone would give him a ride. And that's how I met Stan the very first time. And I picked Stan up and he got in the car and he said, "Hello, my name's Stan." He stuck his hand out and I shook it and I said, "My name's Jerry." And he said, "Man, alive." He said, "Thank you for giving me a ride." He said, "Where are you heading?" And he said, "I kind of need to run over here." And I said, "Well, I'm going that direction. I'll drop you by there, no problem." And as soon as we got the preliminaries out of the way and our introductions, the next thing he turned around and looked at me. I mean, I can see the sparkle in his eye. And he said, "Jerry, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "Share with me, if you would, what God showed you from the Bible this morning." Let's see. I remember Jesus. I think it was something about Jesus and, you know, like a little kid. Remember when you were a little kid and you're... you get in the car after Sunday school and you're going home, your mom and dad say, "What did you learn in Sunday school this morning?" Well, that's about how I felt at that moment right there, you know. But he was so excited. And he said to me, he said, "I'm not doing this to put you on the spot." I mean, the guy had a great heart. But he said, "I'm not saying this to put you on the spot." He said, I kind of ask guys that because, he said, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And he said, I feel like I'm behind. I feel like other people know so much more than I do. So I had this kind of crazy idea that every morning I would get into the Bible and I would read it and ask God to teach me something. But then I thought, hey, if I ask other guys at the college what God has taught them, I could double up and maybe triple up with what I learned. You know what? It should not surprise you that that man named Stan graduated and went on to be used in a great way from the Lord. Young man, listen to me. I don't know what you got a hunger for, but this ought to be near the top of the list. You know, don't waste your time here in Bible college. What a great opportunity to learn the Word of God. I had a teacher in Bible college that began his class every single day praying the same prayer. Every single time I sat in his class, and I probably sat in his class over 100 times, before we would start, he'd always pray the same prayer. By the way, the prayer is found in the same 119th Psalm. He prayed a variation of it, a plural version of the prayer in verse number 18. Lord, open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I like that he pluraled it because, you know what, as a teacher, I don't ever want to stop learning. You know what, even sometimes when I'm preaching and teaching, and you preachers have had this happen to you, you've studied out a portion of Scripture, you've written down what God wants you to bring, but right in the course of preaching it, God sometimes will show you something brand new that you hadn't even thought of. You know what, I pray that you'll pray that prayer. I pray that you'll get into the Bible. I pray that you'll ask God to teach you something. Hey, don't just have devotions. Get a notebook out. Listen, you know why a lot of times we don't get anything from the Bible? It's because we're not looking for anything from the Bible. And I think one of the benefits of having a notebook and a pen when you do your morning devotions is that shows God that you're serious and it shows God that you have a teach me attitude. Say, preacher, how much should I read every morning? Read until God teaches you something, then write it down. I think that you're going to be blessed and helped with all that the Bible college professors will share with you concerning the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, the best teacher when it comes to the Bible is the Holy Spirit of God. And I don't mean this, young men. I think after 4 years, you ought to leave with, yes, notebooks full of notes from what your teachers have taught you. But I think you should leave with notebooks full of notes from what God taught you while you were reading the Bible. The first way that this prayer is prayed, the first thing that God, David asked for in this matter, teach me, is teach me thy word. Number two, David prayed this prayer also, teach me thy way. Teach me thy way. Psalms 25, verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Psalms 27:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Psalms 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Think about this, folks. No wonder David was used as greatly as he was. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Psalms 143:10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Come on now. I don't know all the secrets to success. I don't know all that I can share with you, but I just know this. I think God is still scouring the earth and looking and listening for somebody that will come to God with a teachable attitude and a teachable spirit. Can you imagine starting the day, first of all, by just opening the Bible and saying, teach me thy word? And then you got your hand on the doorknob and you're getting ready to walk out into your day. But before you do, you bow your head and pray this prayer, teach me thy way. By the way, God's way is not the only way that you can walk. You can choose to walk a different way every day. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Man, if the verse stopped there, it would be an amazing verse. It becomes one of the saddest verses in the Bible by the way it ends. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know what? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Young man, young lady, God has created you with a free will. You know what? He's not going to put a gun to your head and say, you have to walk my ways. He's looking for someone that will go to the Bible and say, teach me thy word. And then as they are about to go out to the day and they put their hand on the doorknob before they step out the door, Lord, please, I don't want to walk my path today. I want to walk your path. I don't want to walk my way. I want to walk your way. Such a blessed thing to walk in the paths of God. You see, each and every day there is a way for you, a path that you ought to take. I believe there's divine appointments along that path. I think there's people that God wants you to meet and influence and witness to, but you're not going to find them along your path. You'll only find them along God's path. Psalms 143:10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Watch this. Lead me into the land of uprightness. The will of God is found along the road marked the way of God. The Lord's will, God's will unfolds every day as you walk in His way. Young people, listen to me. Each and every day, along the path, along the way of God's will, God wants to teach you things. He wants to teach you things. Yes, does He use the Bible to teach you things? Yes, He uses the Bible. But you know what else He uses? Things that He puts along your path. Listen, I've never gotten out of school. You know why? I don't want to get out of school. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, I promise you there are things that God wants to teach me along the way. A few years ago, I've been thinking and dreaming about the idea that maybe one of these days, if the Lord allowed it, I'd be able to. Listen, I'm a deer hunter. I love hunting white-tailed deer and done it for 30-some years. But I've always wanted to go elk hunting. And I had made it a matter of prayer and said, Lord, if you open the door. Anyway, make a long story short, the Lord allowed me 3 or 4 years ago to go out to Montana and go elk hunting. We got all the way up into the mountains, up where there was no cell phone signal. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. And you know what? I still carried my cell phone with me for two reasons. Because as I was up in those mountains, you know what? I wanted to take the pictures. I climbed up on top of that mountain before the sun came up in the morning in the dark. And I'd set up on a rocky ledge and watch the sun pop up over those Montana mountains and sit there and wipe away tears and say, Lord, thank you for just letting me be here. But I carried that phone so I could take pictures. But more importantly, I carried that phone because it has a little note app on it. And I told the Lord, if I'm going to be out here for 6 days elk hunting with this preacher that I just met, while I'm here, I want you to teach me things. And every single day, I would just experience something that God gave me some type of a spiritual lesson about. I would jot it down. I'd pull my phone out and I'd jot it down. I'd talk to the preacher and say, tell me about Montana and tell me about the ministry and tell me about elk hunting. And he would tell me stories, but he'd weave in spiritual principles and I'd sit there and just write them down. And by the time I got back home, when I got back home into my own pulpit, I said, folks, I'm gonna preach a series of messages called Mountain Lessons. So I preached about the time that I was out there elk hunting. You say, why would you do that? Because I was so busy elk hunting, I didn't have time to study. So I had to do something. I had to preach on something. And there it was. You know what? I believe that that's not true just on a hunting trip. I believe that's true no matter what you involve yourself with. God is always in the teaching business. But He's not going to teach the one who has a know-it-all attitude. Excuse me. He's not going to teach the one that's full of pride. Yeah, I don't care how you spell your last name or how good of a family or how good a church you came from. Sometimes if you're not careful, that can be a bad thing when you come into Bible college. If you think because of who you are or the church you came from, you already know it all, you might as well go home unless you change that attitude. And you're going to miss. Look, preacher, I'm not a big shot. I mean, I don't even come from a Christian family. And maybe you were reached through the bus ministry. Maybe you don't have a spiritual heritage. Let me tell you something. Are you hungry? I don't care who you are. Are you willing to get on your knees and say every day, oh, God, please, I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I need you. Please, as I walk your way and your will today, just teach me. Just teach me. The last prayer that David prayed in connection with this little phrase is this. He also prayed this. Teach me thy wisdom. Psalms 119, verse 66. Teach me good judgment. Think about that. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Teach me good judgment. Good judgment. Young people, you're at a time of life where the decisions that you make are absolutely make or break. Brother Dameron would tell you the same thing. Pastor Dameron would tell you the same thing. I will tell you this. Most of the people whose lives have not turned out in the way that they wish they would. I can't tell you how many times a 30-something or a 40-something is sitting in my office and they're brokenhearted and struggling and can't seem to get on the victory side. And you know what? You know why? Because between the years of 18 and about 22 or 23, they made some key decisions, and they are still at 30 and 40 trying to unravel the mess they made in those decisions. And young people, please just listen to me, okay? Just give me a chance. But you're in the time of your life where you're out from underneath mom and dad's direct authority. You're experiencing your first real level of some independence and some liberty and a level of freedom. Honest, I know that you're at a Bible college, but still you can listen, be careful. Beg God to teach you His wisdom. Listen, don't make a major decision, any type of a major decision, without calling mom and dad, without calling your home pastor, without getting some godly counsel from some godly people right here at Fairhaven. Be so careful. Young ladies, please listen to me. Be careful. Okay? During these stretch of years is probably the time that you're going to make what I call the second most important decision of your life. Don't do it without getting good counsel. Listen to people around you. Talk to mom and dad. Hey, by the way, if you have to hide a relationship from your parents, that ought to tell you enough about that relationship, all you need to know about that relationship. Because, young people, let me tell you this, and I'm done. But life is amazing. And you know what? What awaits you in the future is so incredible, and the greatest life ever lived is one serving the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to know how to do it unless you learn how to pray this prayer. Lord, teach me your word. So every day I'm in the book. By the way, still in the book every day. Still praying that prayer every day. Turned 59 last month. Still praying the same prayer I prayed as a freshman in Bible college. Still don't think I know it all. Still need to learn God's word. Before I touch the door handle, oh God, teach me thy way. Teach me thy way. Oh God, please, teach me thy wisdom. Brother Dameron, I buried my mama 5 weeks ago. My mama died 5 weeks ago. And 1 week from turning 59, or 1 week from turning 80 years of age, she died at 79. If she'd have lived one more week, she'd have been 80. And got saved when she was 26 years of age. Mom and Dad got saved a little later on in life. Was a pastor's wife for 41 years. And attended her funeral, and so many people came. My mom had such an influence on the young ladies at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that had grown up generation after generation after generation. I stood there on the receiving line at the end of the service when folks went by the casket to pay their last respects and then came by to say something to the family. And young lady after young lady, now some of them's in their 30s, some of them's in their 40s, some of them's in their 20s. And they stopped in front of me and they said, "Preacher, your mom had a big influence on my life. But you know what the most important thing she ever taught me?" And by the way, I knew what it was, but I wouldn't say it. I wanted to hear them say it. I said, "What's the most important thing mom ever taught you?" She always stood before our high school senior class and she'd always say, "Young ladies, if you'll keep a tender heart and a teachable spirit, if you'll protect those two things, you won't miss the will of God." A few minutes later, comes another young lady, stands in front of me and says, "Preacher, your mom had a big influence in my life. You know what she used to say to me?" And I said, "Tell me." She used to look at us girls and say, "Young ladies, if you'll keep a tender heart and a teachable spirit, you'll never miss the will of God. Stay tender. Stay teachable." Another group would go by, and here's another young lady, then another young lady, then another young lady. "Hey, girls, can I say something to you? If you'll keep a tender heart and a teachable spirit, you're going to do okay. Young men, if you keep a tender heart and a teachable spirit, you're going to do okay." Let's bow our heads.